All right, and without further ado, I need some help from everybody. So please stand up and help me welcome with a big round of applause our leader, our mentor, Mr. Howard Partridge. Woo! Yeah! All right. What's up, Howard?
Thank you, Sean.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sean.
Absolutely. That one's mine, by the way.
That one's yours?
Okay. Are you good?
I don't think so.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. How are we doing this morning? Yay. How many of you are here for the very first time? Let me see your hands, please. Give them a big hand clap. Awesome. Awesome. So I have been this morning with a group of future Inner Circle members. We're going to change that from non-member to future Inner Circle members, right? And the thing is that I told them, I said, got a break because I got to get over here to the people that I love. And I love the fact that we're doing Inner Circle here, right? We don't really do the big shows anymore. I got one plan possibly for this coming year. I'm going to be turning 60 in September, September 15th. And I thought to myself, I want to have like a giant party. Like invite everybody that even thought about knowing me, right? That just even just knows my, I don't care who you are, just come, right? So we're trying to put that together. I think it'll be a lot of fun. But this is family, right? This is community, all right? And yep, and give yourselves a big hand clap for loving on each other. What about Mr. Santiago Arango? There, hey, there's your leader right there. Did he do a good job this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, question. How are your wheels looking this morning? Did you guys do your business wheel this morning?
Yeah.
Okay. Got two questions for you. How many of you could make some improvements on your wheel? Let me see your hands, please. Okay. That's a lot of hands. You know, the beauty is that I've seen that there are people in this room like Elise. Where's Elise? Okay. You should see how her wheel has improved, right? And, I mean, this thing's almost like perfect now, right?
I got 2 tens this time.
You got 2 tens this time? Like 2 major systems, a 10? Or like...
On the personal side.
On the personal side. Love that. Okay. How does that happen? I'm going to share with you in this presentation how that happens. We call this systems mastery for a reason, and I want to say a few words this morning about how do you master these systems? How many of you, second question is, how many of you would agree that if you could score a high score on all of these different areas in your business, that you would have a pretty phenomenal business? Is that true? Absolutely. So that's why we're here today. That's why this is called Systems Mastery. And that's because I have a goal for you. And that goal for you is to help you master these systems, because we know that when we get these systems right and we grow in this area, we're not only going to have a phenomenal business, but that's going to affect a lot of lives, right? Your business is a vehicle to help you achieve your life goals. It's going to impact your life. And if you look around at the people that have been with us for many years, you're going to see how their life has been changed. This is about life, living in freedom every day. It's not just about systems for system's sake. It's not about showing up on pods. It's not about, you know, being at every meeting. It's about changing your life and the life of people around you. Last night, we had a phenomenal dinner with this wonderful family right here, the Pahalski family. You guys wave your hands so everybody knows who you are, okay? Listen, see if I get this right. Daniel, 27 years old? 26. Brian, almost 30, 29 years old. And Tim, 33 years old. These guys, 2 years ago maybe, came to Destin, spent a day with Rick and myself. They had a lot of family issues in that family business. They got to work. They started implementing these things. And today, not only have they grown by several hundred thousand dollars, they have solved some major problems in their business, right? And these boys have just taken a hold of this, and they're running with it. And I just want to say how proud I am of you guys. And, yes. Now, Mama, who owns the business, husband passed away. She had to step back and get out of the way a little bit and let them do what they needed to do, right? And so she gets the bigger hand clap, okay? Karen, how many of you know that everything rises and falls on leadership? And leadership sometimes is getting yourself out of the way so that other people can do the important work that needs to be done, right? So systems are important, but having the right people, having people with character and the qualities that these young men have, and having leadership are the other two things you need. You need systems, but you need the right people to run those systems, and you need to become a phenomenal leader, become a better leader so that you can lead them to implement those things. Make sense? All right. Y'all ready to work? Okay. Get your handout out that's in your folder. You should have a handout that has systems mastery on it. And I went into the one thing, and I went into a book called Drive to grab some information for you on mastery. Now, mastery is a whole subject. We could spend the whole conference on it. And our focus here at this particular training is, you know, what would happen in your business if you mastered the financials? If you mastered, this is another thing that they did. They got all their books cleaned up and got to KFP. They found, you know, money that was missing and all of that. What would happen if you master your marketing? Yesterday, we have a little writing group called Two Peas in a Pod. Beverly's in that group. And is there anybody who's doing homeschooling in this room? Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4. Who else does homeschooling? 5, 6. Okay. I have a gift for you. If you'll go to the table, I have some of Beverly's books. I want to give each one of you a copy. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy 5 more copies or 6, whatever it was, from Beverly. I'm going to buy some more books because I want every parent, even if you're not homeschooling, I love this book. I just sat there and I just devoured it on the beach. And it, because it's full of inspiration and wisdom that all of us can use. And so yesterday in that group, I interviewed Dr. Joseph Michelli, who is a number one New York Times bestselling author. He wrote The Starbucks Experience. He wrote a book on Ritz-Carlton Hotel. He wrote a book on Mercedes-Benz, and he's done consulting for all of these companies. So I interviewed him yesterday while our leadership group was meeting. I went over to one of these rooms over here, and I did an interview with him. And what I learned yesterday is that man works so hard on marketing himself. I mean, just he's just always doing things. So what would it be like if you mastered marketing in your company, the right kind of marketing? What would it be like if you mastered the sales process and your people mastered the sales process? What would it be like if your company mastered the systems process, the operations, the service, right? And what would happen if you went to a mastery level in leadership where you understood when someone misses the mark, how to coach them, I think it'd just be better than phenomenal, don't you? Yes? All right, so how many of you gave a testimonial from this stage up here already today? Elise? You guys did a testimonial this morning, so they already heard your story some, okay? Ashley? Okay, three people did so far. I have a gift for you, all right? Joseph has a brand new book out called The Airbnb Way, and he tells the whole story of how Airbnb not only became more valuable than some of the top hotel companies in the world, like Marriott Corporation. How do you do that with an app? I mean, seriously. Well, it's more than an app, right? How many of you have stayed in Airbnb, by the way? Okay. I know that Sherry Perry has, because Sherry Perry is actually in the book. I'm like, I told her that I pre-ordered these books, and I don't even know if they're available yet, but I pre-ordered a bunch of books, and so I had one yesterday, and Sherry looks at it, and she goes, "I'm in that book." I was like, "You're in everybody's book." I mean, like, how did you do that? That's called mastering relationship building, right? So those of you who have given us a testimonial, I want you to have that book. I know you have one coming, but I'm going to give you another one right now. Sherry, thank you very much. Do y'all have those Airbnb books out there? Okay, so everyone who shares a testimonial from the stage is going to get one of those books from me. It's signed by Joseph Bocelli, so all of you have an opportunity. But I want to tell you one last thing, and then we'll get started on this information. The truth is that when you do a testimonial, not only is it good marketing, not only should you be doing it yourself for your own company, but in this group, it's much more than that. How many of you have experienced life change in your business or your life because of the Inner Circle? Let me see your hands. Okay. Look around the room. Okay. Absolutely. And those of you that are here for the first time, it's going to happen to you. That's why we need to do everything that we can to get those future Inner Circle members, get those success stories out to them. Yes or yes?
Yes.
All right, let's go. Got a lot to do. A few years ago, I had this clicker, and I just got it back, but I can't get it to work here. There we go. Perfect. Woo! Now I need to go back. Okay. A few years ago, I had the opportunity to go to a conference, and I saw a man by the name of Meadowlark Lemon speak. How many of you know who Meadowlark Lemon, back in the day, right? So, Christian, if you and Santi could queue up, not right now, but find a Meadowlark Lemon video when he's doing the tricks and stuff like that for later on. You got to see this if you haven't seen it before. These guys would do the most amazing trick shots in the world. Like, you won't... Got it. You won't believe it. Unbelievable stuff. Like, Meadowlark Lemon could come over here and throw the ball behind his back. It would hit Peter's head and go in the basket. I mean, that's just how good they were, right? And sometimes it would bounce between... And they could beat any NBA team in the world. It was crazy. It was a show. And I heard him speak. And here's what he said. Back in the day, it was Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. He said, the reason that they're so good, the reason that they're masters at their craft, is because they practiced the fundamentals on a daily basis. They practice layups. You imagine Michael Jordan practicing layups, practicing foul shots, practicing the three-pointer. The reason that they did that is because the shot is automatic. But here's what happens in a game. Here's what happens in your business. Trouble's coming. You're going to have problems. You're going to have things that you didn't expect to come. The shot has to be automatic. The shot has to be automatic. These young men are wise enough to ask this question at dinner last night. They said, what advice would you have for us young guys for the future? And obviously the implication was, we know that you're getting older. And fortunately, I was sitting next to Rick. And they said, and I said, study Proverbs every day, because what we need is wisdom. Shot is automatic after a period of time. We're going to face things that we've never faced before. Wisdom. That's why we need to be in communities like this, right? But the systems themselves, the shot needs to be automatic. We got to know how to do that referral marketing call. We got to know how to do that coaching. We got to know how to do those things. That has to be automatic. Then the wisdom, the community comes in as we learn how to face different things that come along. And then you know what their response was? Yeah, I've been doing that for years. Let's reverse roles and let me just learn from you. You know, they're like, you know, what were you doing when you were our age? You don't want to know. Okay. By the way, it's a little warm in here, guys. Let's bring the temperature down. Okay. Can I get the PowerPoint back? How many of you are familiar with John Wooden? John Wooden. A reporter asked him. This guy won, his teams from UCLA won more basketball games than anybody else in history. A reporter asked him, out of all the championship games, out of all the different things that you've experienced over your storied career, what day would you relive? If you could, what day would you relive? What do you think he said? Oh, man, that championship and that particular year, that particular day. And you think Jose Altuve would want to relive what happened last week when he hit that home run, that homer that sent him to the World Series? We got some crazy people over there. They're all dressed in orange, and guy's got an Astros jacket, and guy's got orange pants, Astros shirt and everything. Well, they lost two games. He's like, they need this. They need some encouragement, right? So people expected, okay, what championship is he going to tell us? That's not what he said. Anybody know what he said? Give me another practice day. I'll take another practice day, any time, because he knew the importance of practice. If there's one word I want you to remember when it comes to mastering these systems, mastering the shot, making the shot automatic, practice. Do you know that that man made his basketball players tie their shoe, put their socks on and put their shoes on and tie their shoes a certain way? Do you know that? Fundamentals. Basics. There's an article in Inc. magazine that I read recently. I won't give you all the details. But the essence of it was, mastery is about how you practice. Not even how often you practice, but how you practice. So we'll get into that later on. Question is, what is mastery? This is in your handout. Mastery is a commitment to becoming your best so that you can achieve extraordinary results. So to achieve extraordinary results, you must embrace the extraordinary effort it represents. And there are three commitments. The first commitment is, you must adopt the mindset of someone who's seeking mastery. We'll see in just a minute that the mindset of average players, average leaders, are different than the mindset how masters think. Second, you must continually seek the very best ways of doing things. What's the best way to tie your shoes? What's the best way to make that shot? What's the best way to pass that ball behind your back? Third, you must be willing to be held accountable to do everything you can to achieve your one thing. Now, this was written by Gary Keller. Gary Keller is the founder, the co-founder of Keller Williams Realty, which is the number one residential real estate company in the country, probably in the world, by far, on every kind of way you can measure it. And he wrote a book called The One Thing. And The One Thing has what's called a focusing question. How many of you know that mastery requires focus? There's a focusing question, and it says this: what's the one thing I can do such that by doing it, everything else becomes either easier or unnecessary? We're going to get a lot of information. Somebody was telling me yesterday, we had our leadership training. I'm already got the fire hose going. At the end of tomorrow, I'm going to share with you what to do about all that. You can do it, anything you want to do. You just can't do everything right now, right? So we have to have a one thing and understand how the one thing works so we can focus. If you're going to master something, you have to know where to focus, all right? And we have to be accountable to do everything that's required for that one thing. Satya, I'm going to have you guys go to my clicker. I've got one in my bag. After, you know, the break. Well, I'm not going to be teaching more today, I don't think, but there we go. Okay, first commitment. And the way of thinking about this is mastery is a path. Mastery is not something that happens overnight. You guys come into the inner circle and you think, okay, man, this is good because Howard's presentation was good. I'm going to be doing this. I'm going to be doing that. It's just going to happen. It doesn't happen like that. Here's what happens. We want you to get some quick, immediate, unbelievable wins. Close more sales. You know, organize your time. Learn how to coach someone. Whatever that is for you, whatever your one thing is. And then as you stay with it, it's a journey over time that's going to have some trouble. It's a path. It's going to have some mountains to climb. It's a path. It's a journey that's going to take some turns. Okay? So you got to understand that. Let's get out of the microwave thinking and understand that this is going to take some time. Gary Keller said this. He said, you're less than 5 years away from your biggest goals and dreams. Less than 5 years. Think of your biggest dreams and goals right now. And think about, would you be willing to invest at a very high level for 5 years if you knew that your biggest dreams and goals would come to pass? And if you can't say yes to that, you don't have a big enough dream. And when I say a big enough dream, I'm not talking about something, you know, a lot of money or whatever. I'm talking about a big dream means a meaningful dream, something that's going to mean something to you and mean something to your family, mean something to your legacy and your significance. Mastery is a way of thinking. Okay, what are we doing? All right. The path is one of an apprentice, learning and relearning the basics of a never-ending journey of greater experience and expertise. When you've chosen to master the right thing, then pursuing it will make everything else you do either easier or unnecessary, or no longer necessary. See, what happens is, when Michael Jordan, by the way, Michael Jordan or LeBron James? Why? Listen, until you have a ring for every finger, LeBron, you ain't got nothing to talk about, okay? I mean, I'm just saying, all right? That's how you know. How many rings do you have? It's not necessary for him to think about anything. Because he's mastered the fundamentals. The shot's going to be made. A lot of trouble comes. You've got to fly through the air and twist and turn and maybe put it in this way. But the shot's going down. No matter what obstacles he has. Mastery means giving the best to the best you have to become the best you can be at your most important work. What's your most important work right now? What's your one thing? Do you know what it is? What's your most important work?
Kids.
Kids? Love that. You could have the greatest business in the world, make all the money in the world, as my friend David Fry likes to say, that he borrowed from someone else who borrowed it from someone else, that no amount of business success can compensate for failure at home. Right? That's number one. That's number one. What's your one thing in your business? The one thing that makes that happen. We need to understand that. And it means giving the best that you have so that you can become the best. You have to give the best to become the best. It doesn't happen overnight. Maybe it's me. I might need to be patient with this thing. Where's Brenda? Where's Brenda? Is she in the room?
She had to take a call, Howard.
She had to take a call? Okay. All right. Brenda's late husband said this. Now, Brenda is the highest ranking American female in Taekwondo in the world. That's called mastery. In fact, her official title is Senior Grandmaster Brenda J. Sell, now Jones. She married a leadership master by the name of Rick Jones. Amen on that one?
Amen.
He said that a black belt is simply a white belt that never quit. Gary Keller said this. He said, white belts know the same moves that black belts know. They just haven't practiced them enough to do them well. So a white belt knows the stance, knows the actual moves, but they just haven't practiced them enough for them to become automatic. They know how to, she even showed me. She showed me, here's how you break through a board. I know how to do it, but I can't do it because I haven't practiced it. That's not my one thing. That will never be my one thing, as far as I know. God has the permission to change that, amen? But I can't see that path at all, okay? He said the creativity you see at a black belt level comes from mastery of what? The white belt fundamentals. Mastering the fundamentals. See, we want to advance to the next level. Zig Ziglar said this. He said, the more you learn about any subject, the more creative you can become because of it. What does this say? The creativity you see. Now, when you learn how to break bricks, I can break bricks like, okay, I did it. Or you can put some flair into that thing, right? Did Michael Jordan have some flair? Yes. He put some creativity into it. A little entertainment. So yesterday, our 777 group got to go through a full day of the EOS system. It's the Entrepreneurial Operating System with one of my good friends, a very high-level executive coach by the name of Glenn Smith. He's going to be doing a keynote here this afternoon. It's phenomenal. How many of you were in there? How many of you enjoyed that? Let me see your hands. Look at the hands. And that's what we opened up with, is that I want you guys to understand the tools, the models that you have to work with. And once you understand those, then you move to another set of tools and models, right? And when you learn these different models, why have I been mentored? Why did I go to John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar, Michael Gerber, and all these different people, and Joseph Michelli, and learn from them? They got different business models. And I'm able to do what I can do today in business, in small business, because I studied every single one of their models. I don't want that. That's a great model for them. But not quite. I'll take that part. This guy has this model. You need to learn our inner circle model first, but then you're going to learn other tools from other people that we bring into the community. You know, Ellen Rohr is over there teaching our future inner circle members. When you run into them, it's going to say like boot camp attendee. You know, say, I heard you're a future inner circle member, right? So when you see them at lunch or whatever. But the thing is that she was a little concerned about us teaching together, and because she wants to avoid what she calls the Frankenstein method, okay? You know how Frankenstein works, right? You get a bunch of spare parts and you put a human together, kind of like a human, and then things go wrong, right? And that's what happens when you go to seminar, this model, that model. If you don't have some focus, some vision of what you're trying to do, and what's cool about this is that we can take our model and then we can introduce you to a new model or a new system, and you have some basis to as your platform. Does that make sense? You're going to see that coming up. Gary Keller, when he's talking about mastery. So you can be more creative with it. Expert performance comes from, say it with me, learn it. Our most successful inner circle members, the people in this room who have been the most successful, simply learn the system, they implement the system. You can't implement without practice. How many of you know about the 10,000-hour rule? Studies have been done that say to reach expert status, you don't reach expert status by being born a genius. How many of you other than me are very grateful for that? Can I get an amen? You know I'm from Lower Alabama, right? It's like, I didn't know very much. Let's just put it that way. I'm grateful for that. Have I put in the 10,000 hours? And the study was done, and it showed that people who have invested 10,000 hours in practicing their craft, that's how they achieved expert status. I think I got 10,000 hours in the last 36 hours. I know that doesn't sound possible, but it's like it seemed like it. Mastery is a journey. The pursuit of mastery bears gifts. As you progress along the path of mastery, both your self-confidence and your success competence will grow. Why? Because the shot's automatic. It's automatic at that point. You're not worried about the shot. You're able to focus on everything that's going on because the shot. Aliki did referral marketing for us, and I don't know how many thousands of front doors she walked in and did the referral marketing system that we have, but she tripled our referral source referrals. We had a system. You walk in, you do the same thing every time. Well, sometimes what happens is you're going to run into a situation where you're going to need some sense to work that out and some coaching and training and what have you. Because every human is not the same. Every time you go in that front door, something else may happen. Well, she was able to get she already had the confidence, the self-confidence, but she was able to reach a level in referral marketing because she was able just to practice it every single day. She wasn't worried about all the other things that were going on in the business. This is why you want to get people with a certain profile that's going to come up after a while, and you want to get them in the right seat. The path of mastery is not so different from one pursuit to the next. In other words, you can use the same philosophy to go do something else if you want to do something else. If you want to master something else, it's the same idea. Practice. My son Christian's in the house. Can I get a hallelujah on that? Give him a Big hand clap. You know, that boy, I'm going to probably cry, but that boy, 26-year-old boy, you know, they're always your baby, right? Don't matter how old they are. They're always your baby. He probably won't know how much I love him until I'm gone. Because the fact is that I love that boy with all my heart.
I love you too.
Thank you, Chief. Keeping me from crying now. The reason I'm thinking of Christian is because he's mastered this music stuff, right? And he applied some certain principles to that. But now he's interested in something else. He's practicing certain principles, getting up and studying and understanding how this new thing works that he's doing. Okay, it's an investment program. That's what you have to do. Sooner or later, he's going to find that groove that's exactly right for him, but the path is the same. You have to want it. You have to see it. You have to do everything you can to achieve it. You have to study. You have to become a student of business. That's why you're here today. Not just to interact and, you know, that's very important. But we have to become a student of leadership. We have to become a student of marketing, a student of sales, a student of systems, a student of administration. Doesn't mean you have to do everything. You get people to help you out to do those different things that you're not the best at. So the path of mastery is not so different from one pursuit to the next. Mastery in the one thing serves as a platform for and speeds up the process of doing other things. Once you learn how to do one thing well, you can learn how to do another thing well. Second commitment that you need to make. There's three commitments according to the one thing. By the way, those of you that are in my Thursday 777 group, I'm going to be taking you through the one thing training for several weeks. It's going to be awesome. It's a phenomenal training. You got to move from what Gary Keller calls the entrepreneurial approach, doing what comes naturally. Remember that expert status doesn't come naturally. It's not just doing things that you already know how to do, that you're gifted to do. The purposeful approach, do what comes unnaturally. What does Mr. Rick Jones say? All growth happens outside the comfort zone. Masters don't do the best that they can do. Watch this. They do it the best it can be done. When we created our systems in my service company, so amazing to me today. My two directors were there yesterday at our 777 meeting. Scott Zach, who's our administration director, and Johan, who is our operations director. That company just produces profits and just is so smooth and so predictable and profitable, turnkey. I don't even have to be there. I just get a monthly deposit in my account. I'm doing this or on the beach or whatever. It's like, wow. You can do that if that's what you want. But did I have to work hard to make that happen? Absolutely. Early on, when I was training our technicians and interacting with our team, I would ask my technicians how everything went. He said, did my best. I got to thinking about that. I started telling them, I don't want your best. I don't want my best. What are we looking for? We're looking for the best that it can be done. See, when you follow a master's already been through all that. They already tried this, tried that. So that person, instead of doing their best, which may or may not be enough, what you have to do is you have to create the best system, the best that it can be done. And then you train people to follow that system. That's what systems are all about. All right? Now, here's what happens, and you guys have probably seen a lot of business owners like this. Maybe some of you have suffered from the entrepreneurial seizure yourself. Okay? Here's how it happens. You just do what comes naturally. You have an idea, and I have this gift, and you go out and do it, and you have all these expectations that everything's going to happen. But what happens is there's this ceiling of achievement that you're not aware of, that you're not expecting, and you're disappointed. So then what happens is you say, well, I'm not going to try that procedure or do that business or whatever. You start resigning yourself from that. So I say, well, maybe that's not a great idea. Let me go to greener pastures, try something else, start another business or whatever the case is. And then the cycle continues. What you want instead is what Gary Keller calls the purposeful approach. And that is doing what comes unnaturally. All right, everybody, put your hands together and cross your thumbs right now. Okay, how many of you have your right thumb over your left thumb? Okay, that's it? Ooh, we're in trouble. Okay, how many of you have your left thumb over your right thumb? How many of you aren't going to do this exercise no matter what I ask you? Okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to reverse your thumbs. Like you can't even hardly do it. Isn't that weird? The person sitting next to you is weird. All right, do it again. Cross your thumbs naturally. This is where you're comfortable. What if that's not the right way? What if you can't get there from here? Would it be worth learning how to be comfortable, being uncomfortable doing this? That's the point here. What's required? Number one, focus. That's what the one thing is all about. Masters are focused. They are extremely focused. I know what I want. Gary Keller said that success is knowing what you want. I know what I want. And then, what do they look for? They look for models. Howard Partridge guy got these systems, got some models. Maybe I can learn something from him. We find models and systems. That's how you get the breakthrough. Yes? Okay, what do we got next coming up? All right, here's the deal. I'll come back to this slide. That's the deal. Number three is live the accountability cycle. Sadie, let's go ahead and change this out for me. Okay, I'm just still having trouble with it. I think what it is there's a big hesitation. And so I click it, and it takes too long. There we go.
Yeah.
Sure. So live the accountability cycle. Accountability, watch this. Accountability is most likely the most important of the three commitments. Without it, your journey down the path of mastery will be cut short. The moment you encounter a what? A challenge. You're going to have challenges. Accountability is the key to get through those challenges. Accountable people achieve results others only dream of. The single most important difference between amateurs and elite performers is that future elite performers seek out teachers and coaches and engage in supervised training, where amateurs rarely engage in similar types of. There's some inner circle members that are not here. This is maybe, I don't know, 20% of our membership. How many of you have seen a direct correlation between your engagement, your involvement in Inner Circle, and your success? All right? Look, here's the thing. Our most successful members are the ones who simply learn the models, the systems, and they implement. The reason that they implement is they have coaching. They engage in their coaching. They come to think, you come to things like this, and you get built up, and you get these messages in you. But there's an ugly side of this that I want you to know about. We have too much. How many of you were completely overwhelmed when you joined the Inner Circle? Okay? I mean, like, I was a slave to my business before. Now I'm a slave to my business, and I got another full-time job. Show up to pods, get on this call, get on that call, do that. Like, these people are crazy. They're nuts. Some of you figured it out on your own. I was talking to somebody last night. Brenda Sell. Brenda Jones. See how habits are? Brenda said, you know, we were talking about this last night, and she said, you know, I was just overwhelmed. So I just decided to, I talked to another member, and they said, just start at the beginning. So I just started GPS 1. And you know that woman has taken her business from unprofitable to predictably profitable. She always had a great, you know, just attitude. And she's a person who said, you know, I'm a white belt, but I ain't quitting. I ain't quitting. And she's on her way to becoming a black belt in business. Not because it comes naturally, because it's totally unnatural for her. So here's what we've done. We've been working on fixing this. Okay, and I want to share a couple things with you. First of all, if pods aren't your thing, we've been offering weekly accountability with Aliki. So you get a weekly check-in call. Okay? Number two, make sure that you're meeting with your coach once a month to get you on course correction. All right? The third thing is, I'm going to go ahead and tell you today what I'm going to tell you tomorrow, and then I'm going to tell it to you again. And that is that you're going to take everything that you learn here and you're going to put it somewhere. Ellen Rohr calls it the master projects list. I don't care if it's a Word document. I don't care if it's a notes app. I don't care if it's a whiteboard. I don't care what it is. But you list all the different things that you want to do, all the things that you learn, and it might be a mile long. I don't care. And then what you're going to do is you're going to pick 4 things. How many of you use in that process the phenomenal 4, right? The phenomenal 4 projects, these are the things that are going to have the most impact in the next 90 days. That's our system. That's our implementation system. You put it in your planner and you work on it every day. You just kick the ball down the field just a little bit every day on just those 4 things. One of them is your top 1 thing project that's going to make all the difference in the world. Our coaches, Rick, Santiago, on the pod, Sherry, Aliki, the thing is that we need to help you stay focused on the goal and the phenomenal 4 things that are going to get you there. You're always going to have all the other stuff. In the book, The 4 Disciplines of Execution, they called it the whirlwind. You can call it brush fires. Bad news. Brush fires always going to be there. They're always going to be there. Good news is you don't have to be the one to deal with the brush fires. When you get your business organized and you move in the director role and you do what we learned yesterday, that everybody has their rocks or their projects, right? And you're having regular meetings. What does this say right here? This is research. Individuals with written goals are 39.5% more likely to succeed. Individuals with written goals and weekly accountability are 76.7% more likely to succeed. That's a fact. I need it. I've been using that process, the four goals or the four problems to solve, the four projects, the four rocks. I don't care what you call it. In my planner since 2012. Every day. Daily time capsule. Every day. 6 days a week anyway. I don't do it on Sunday. I rest on Sunday. All right, here's what accountability looks like. Life happens, right? Whirlwind, brush fires, issues, challenges. Life happens. People who are not accountable, here's how they approach it. They don't ask any questions. They fight reality. You know that if you want to be successful, the first thing you need to do is face reality and just accept that this is the situation. Because as long as you're living in denial, you're not going anywhere. They blame other people. They use personal excuses like it's not my job. And they wait and hope. If it's meant to be, it'll happen. It's not true. If God wants it to happen, it'll happen. But it might happen in the way that you don't want it to happen. Anybody been there? Chief, this is God talking. I need to get you from here to here. You can do it my way, or you can do it my way. Same is true here. You can do it the best way that it can be done, or you can get there the slow way. How about if we just decide to be accountable? I think I don't need a clicker. I'll just be like, okay. First of all, they seek reality. What's going on here? They acknowledge reality. This is the way it is. Doesn't have to stay that way, but this is the way it is. They own it. Glenn told a great story yesterday. He mentioned three books yesterday. How many of you have read books that have changed your life? Okay. I have a whole library of books that I may never get to them all, but I decided to do something a long time ago. Sherry Perry does the same thing now. Some of you do this. I got Amazon one click. Somebody mentions a book. I say, I need this book, especially when they say, this is the best leadership book I've ever read. I ain't writing that down. I'm going to go to Amazon immediately, one click. So yesterday I ordered three books. I got Amazon Prime. They'll be at my house. That was yesterday. It'll be at my house today. Am I going to read them today? No. Browse them. Get the concept. But the story was, I won't tell the whole story, but Navy SEALs, they're going out to train, and they're not even supposed to be fighting, and all of a sudden, warfare breaks out. People shooting at each other. Come to find out they were shooting at each other. So in their debrief, how many of you know that everything significant that you do, you need to do a debrief? What happened? How'd it go? You know, and that sort of thing. What's working? What's not working? That's the debrief. In my book that's coming out early next year called FTI, there's a principle. I don't know if you've followed it on the Inner Circle website, but there's 10 principles that I taught. One of them is the progress principle. And it's Always measuring. What were we expecting? What actually happened? What's working? What's not working? Tracking those numbers, those kind of things. And so when they debriefed, they said, you know, what happened here? And people started talking about what happened. And all along the line, each one took responsibility. It was my fault. I shot the first shot. I thought it was enemy. Next guy, no, my fault. I should have identified who was shooting. I shot back. The squad leader, no, it's my fault. I should have known. Comes down to the head guy. He said, no, all of you guys are wrong. It's my fault because I didn't communicate well in the beginning. How many of you know that leadership is effectively communicating your vision? So what's happening here? We acknowledge reality. We own it. We find a solution. And we get on with it. We implement. We don't stay in the funk. Man, I thought people were going to buy this particular thing or that particular thing. I thought this person was going to work out. I thought I'd be farther along than I am. Face up to it. Let's get on with the solution. Okay. A note from a book called Drive. I've been reading this book here. I'm going to share a couple things out of this book. It's a phenomenal book. You should have it. So if you have Amazon One Click, just do you One Click. And Daniel Pink shares in this book about mastery. Mastery is a mindset. What people believe shapes what they achieve. The bottom line of my book, FTI, is the reason that people don't implement is because of a lack of desire. Zig Ziglar said that the secret ingredient of success is desire. Desire comes from a vision. Why don't we have desire? Because we don't have a vision. We don't have a compelling vision. That's the picture principle. The reason that we don't have a compelling vision is because we don't believe. That's the potential principle. Who am I to be a master? Who am I to do all of this stuff? But what Mr. Zig Ziglar said, you're born to win, designed for accomplishment, engineered for success, endowed with the seeds of greatness. After all, God don't make no junk. You're a phenomenal product, created to be phenomenal, to do phenomenal things, to have a phenomenal life. God created you for a purpose. So that's the potential principle. That's the purpose principle. Why do you do what you do? Do you believe that you can get there? I don't even have to really even believe it from a mental standpoint necessarily. I just have to believe that it can happen if I take the steps. I was watching a documentary called Inside Bill's Brain. It's about Bill Gates. Man, they're trying to do some impossible things. They're trying to solve a sanitation problem around the world. And they did some really amazing things. This one guy that's on his team, they funded all these different teams. This one guy, get this, built a power plant, because you got to have power to run the sanitation. Built a power plant that's powered by poop. No solar, no electricity, no nothing except for poop. Sewage.
Yeah, they have to have sewage because of the water.
Yeah, technical, Bruce. I call it poop. He calls it sewage. Right, technical term. Sewage, whatever you want to call it. But sewage doesn't start with P, so I need a P word. Because we're on planet phenomenal right now. Poop. Powered by poop. Get this. Not only does the whole sanitation system work and the poop goes where it needs to go, It transforms the poop into clean drinking water. Are you kidding me? The only reason that they haven't been able to actually install it is because of the hundreds of people that it takes to build the thing. They're working on that. You just have to believe that it's possible. That doesn't matter if anybody's ever even done it before. Why are y'all laughing about the poop? Who? Oh. You know, they could hire all those people by selling poop water, right? It's like, hey, Bill, you watching this? Just sell the water, chief.
And that's a recycled bottle also.
And that's a recycled bottle. They made this by a lot of poop. That's why it doesn't have a label on it. Thank you for that, David. Okay. Masters have a growth mindset rather than a fixed mindset. Fixed mindset is it's the way it is, the way it's always going to be. No, we can grow. We can make this happen. Huh? There, which is what?
Mindset.
Oh, mindset. That's the name of it? Where's Michelle? Okay, Santi, text Michelle. Amazon, one click, mastery. Okay. Somebody's going to inherit a phenomenal library. And by the way, I always buy hard copies too, hardcover, because I never get to my Kindle. So I'm going to be like Rick Jones, have a 60-foot trailer with personal development materials. So mine's going to have shelves of books. Okay. Number two. Who's that by? Okay, she'll get it. Okay. Number two, mindset is a pain. I was at our men's retreat at our church here a couple weeks ago, and the speaker was talking about how Jacob in the Old Testament wrestled with God, and I don't know if you guys know this or not, but Jacob was renamed Israel by God, and that's where the name of the nation of Israel came from. It was named after Jacob, who is now named Israel, and he had 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. Anyway, he said this. He said that Jacob came out of that wrestling match with God with a limp. And I'm thinking, if you wrestle with God, you're going to have more than a limp. He's probably a pretty tough man. Well, there's a lot of spiritual context that goes into that. But he said this. He said, if you're not walking with a limp right now, you probably haven't wrestled with God. You haven't walked with God too much. I'm going to tell you something. If you don't have a few scars, mastery's a pain. If you don't have some scars on you, if you don't have some bruises, if you don't have a limp, you ain't done much. You're just getting started. It's a pain. Yes, sir. Love that. See, we got Bible scholars in the house, in the community. You need prayer. We got prayer warriors. You got something for me?
Yeah, the Mindset book is by Carol S. Dweck.
Carol S. Dweck. Okay. All right. Mastery, according to Daniel Pink, mastery is impossible to realize fully. The joy and the pursuit more than the realization, or the joy is in the pursuit, more than the realization. In the end, mastery attracts precisely because mastery eludes. Precisely because. Mr. Zig Ziglar says, it's not what you get when you reach your goals. It's who you become. Reaching the goal is cool, but the joy and the excitement about that is going to last for just a little while. And then you're going to be looking for something else. The joy is in the pursuit. Okay. So if mastery is all about mastering the fundamentals, I want to give you the fundamentals right now. It's not in a handout. If you don't know these, write them down. Because when we're talking about mastering systems, these are the five components. These are the five things that are going to, just take a picture of it, that you're going to put your marketing in, you're going to put your sales in, you're going to put your leadership in, you're going to put your operations administration in. I believe that if you have these five things, that you can successfully create systems in your company. Number one is your vision, which in the inner circle, in your simple, simple business plan, we call that MVP, mission, values, purpose. That's in your business plan. I was went to Pittsburgh here a couple months ago with Mike Killen, and he's going to tell his story tonight, but I'll tell you the short version. His business is just like eating cash like a machine, just like he's scared to death because he's taking money out of his savings to put in his business, and he's got all these challenges and everything and scared to death, and you know, a high C can't roll that way, right? And so we started working together. Today the company is not only predictably profitable and just record sales, record profits, got systems installed. I went up to Pittsburgh and I walk into his store. What's in huge letters? This is Sister Tammy right here, and Brandon works at the company. What's on the walls? Our mission, values, and purpose. See, not only does your team need to see that every day, but your clients need to see it, right? So your vision, your MVP. Number two is your org chart. Master the org chart. We'll look at that here in just a minute. Your PRDs. Again, start simple fundamentals. Just a list. Sarah, I need you to handle these 10 things for me. They have a new team member, and okay, these are the things right here, okay? Just let's start with a list, okay? A checklist. Glenn was showing us yesterday how every pilot uses just a series of checklists. Let's start with a checklist. This is what you're responsible for as the pilot of this plane. Then we can create checklists on the policies and the procedures, and we can start filling in all the details over time. That's going to take some time. You're going to have a limp afterwards of doing all that work. In fact, but there's going to be a payoff. See, if the payoff is what gets you excited, then you need to introduce yourself to these two young men right here. Eric and Larry started with us at $225,000 the whole year. They went to, I'm guessing, a couple of million. I lost track after a couple of million, more than that. Okay. I went to their company, chaos. Said, okay, we got to have a vision here. We got to have a org chart. We got to get people in the right seat. We got to have these PRDs, these policies, procedures. They went to work on it. One of the systems that we teach, our referral marketing, they did so well that it fenced out their competition. Competition did not appreciate that. They couldn't get anybody in their area to refer them. So guess what happens? Eric and Larry stopped showing up for some reason. I said, where's Eric and Larry? What's going on? He was doing some coaching and stuff. I was saying, gone do coaching, you know. And like, well, then I found out the real story. What actually happened was their competitor showed up at their office with a huge check. Like, he hasn't told me how much yet, but I don't even drink, but I'm taking them to drink tonight so I can find out how much. I'm paying. There's how you can go broke, taking Larry out for drinks. Okay. Listen. Big, huge check. Well, Larry learned something. Eric learned something. They learned to not take the first offer, even though it was like, he's probably like, I don't know how you felt at that moment, but big, huge check. Want to buy you out. He said, that's not quite enough. So they came back with a bigger check. The reason they disappeared is because they had sold the business. I didn't even know that. For a lot of money. A lot of money. So now they're doing technician training. They got a podcast and all this cool stuff. But here's the thing. They mastered the org chart. When you first, you guys are familiar with our org chart. Listen, you get to know our org chart, then you're going to see Ellen Rohr's org chart. You're going to get more creative with your org chart. You're going to see Al Levy's org chart tomorrow. But you got to know the basic org chart first. And the org chart, when you first start out with us, looks like this, doesn't it? You guys remember this from boot camp? You. Remember that? Okay. Just so that we can have some fun. How many of you want to have some fun? All right. How many of you want to laugh? I'm going to need that camera now. Christian, you can even get it on a phone. That's fine. It doesn't have to be 4K. But I want you to get a realistic view of what you used to go through and what some of you might still be going through now. So I need a volunteer to do a physical exercise. Has to be a business owner. Okay? All right, so who would like to be my victim? I mean volunteer. Bruce, perfect. Love it. Come on, Bruce. All right. We're going to take a look at what this looks like. So, huh? Yeah, you're going to take your jacket off. We got the perfect guy for this. Okay. All right. Now, these are actually a little out of order, so we're going to have to fix these. Okay. All right.
Need help?
Yeah. I need you. Okay. Now, on your org chart, after leadership, of course, is effectively communicating the vision. So the first thing is marketing, right? Marketing is everything you do to attract prospects. We don't have prospects, we don't have sales, right? So the first thing is we got to come to the event and we got to find out what kind of marketing we're going to be doing. So we got to think about marketing. So I need you to hold that for me. This is the marketing director slot. What the director function does is you think about the business, you plan the business, all right? Now, Bruce is in every box, so then he has to manage it and make sure that it gets done. Marketing manager, there you go. And then, of course, he has to do it. Okay? All right. You're going to need to get down there. You're going to need to get down there because this marketing is phenomenal. Go down the steps over there. Okay. Dan, don't do that. Okay, that's good. You stay down there, I'll stay up here. This marketing is so good. He's doing referral marketing, man. He's doing all the stuff that I'm going to share with you tomorrow. And when you do it, amazing thing is it works. In fact, it might work so well that your competitor shows up with a big check. Right, Eric? Right, Larry? Hallelujah. Okay. So that means you're going to have some sales opportunities. You're going to have to think about what your sales process is going to be, okay? And then you have to make sure that the sales process gets done, okay? And somebody actually has to make the sale. Isn't it a good thing that I'm here helping you? I mean, my goodness, if you're trying to do this all by yourself. All right, what just happened? What just happened?
We hit the ceiling.
Almost hit the ceiling. We're out of capacity. Okay. So here's what he has to do. Go ahead and put him down.
All right.
Okay. All right. Put him down. Yeah, put him down and pray because he's going to need it. All right. So he's got to set his marketing and sales down because you're using the 7-step sales process and the 5 ways to overcome objections, and you're upselling, so you got a lot of sales, okay? So that means you got to figure out, how am I going to provide the most outstanding service experience ever? You can leave those there.
Okay.
Okay, and just step over there where the cameras can see you. Okay? And then, you know, he's got to actually make sure that it's getting done. So he has to manage that. Okay, this is when I'm going to service my clients and, you know, all that stuff. And then you got to actually deliver the product, right? So that's the operations technician, right?
Yeah.
Director, manager, implementer. And then you got to think about administration, everything that you do to track the stats. You know, what kind of software are we going to use? We're going to use QuickBooks? How often are we going to, you know, run those numbers and, you know, that sort of thing? And then somebody actually has to do the data entry.
You need to get taller.
I need to get taller? I think we need to break through that ceiling right there, that natural ceiling of achievement. Okay, now, yeah, just hold that right there for a second, okay? Just keep holding, keep holding. All right, what just happened? Nobody's marketing, nobody's selling. You know, the truth is you probably do marketing, then you got to set marketing down, you got to go over here and do sales, and then, yeah, you can put them down now. Okay, and then give Bruce a big hand clap, right? All right, you're not done yet, stay here. Okay, all right, now, thing is that you had to put that down. And this is what happens with most people. The marketing slows down, and then you're like, oh, I'm so busy. Now I got to go market again, and the cycle continues. So what's the solution?
You
got to
change something.
Huh?
You got to change something.
What you going to change?
Put more people on your bus.
More people? Well, Bella, why don't you come over here and help us out and take a box, okay? Who else is going to help us out? Who wants to join our team today? Who wants to go make a difference out there in the world? Michael LeBlanc, come on board. Grab yourself a box there, sir. Okay, Greg Boss, come on. Grab yourself a box there, chief. All right, grab a box. Take it. Run.
Sure.
Now, inside that box is going to be your PRD. It's going to be the vision, the MVPs in there. Your PRD, your policies and procedures for that particular position. Make sense?
Sorry.
Okay.
You want to switch?
I'm not the right guy. I don't want to do administration.
You don't want to do administration. See? Now what we need is training. We need to put the right people on the bus. Okay. All right. So we need some more volunteers. Come on. Who's coming? All right. Sherry Perry. Come on, Cammy. All right.
No, you can't.
Come on up here, Rusty.
We got to build the team first.
Okay.
I'll do some work.
So everybody gets a box.
Deanna
Sullivan, hi honey, how are you?
I'm awesome.
When did you slip into the building?
I flew in this morning.
Woo, flew in this morning, I love it. Okay, everybody grab a box. Come on, come on guys. All right. Y'all spread out a little bit.
I'll be the manager.
All right. Okay, you two, can y'all handle this together?
There you go, perfect. Isaiah, you'll help Rusty there. Now, what did Bruce just do?
He built a team.
He built a team. He delegated. Isn't that simple?
And now he's got nothing to do.
It's not simple?
He's not holding a box.
Simple, but not easy. It's a pain for a little while. Guess what? I had to do that. I'm still doing that in Phenomenal Products, right? Still in the game. That's what happens when you get turnkey. You go start another business and do it all over again. Have some more pain. All right. So then we could say, Michael doesn't like to be administration director. We can switch that box. Somebody decides they don't want to hold that box. Guess what? We got a whole bunch of people sitting here waiting to be on the team, especially because the fact that they're going to get a free gift. Give them a big hand clap. So go to the table on the break. And where's my microphone? Am I still on? Okay, good. All right. Thank you, sir. And Bruce, our leader. Yay. Airbnb book for Bruce. Okay. All right. Now, Thank you, sir. Big Rusty, my man. All right. I have a training on the Inner Circle website on this, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time because we got one more subject before I'm done. But remember, these are functions. You're going to see with Ellen Rohr and Al Levy, they're more a positional organizational chart. These are the functions that have to happen in every business, right? So the director function working on the business is providing the vision. The manager function is making sure that implementation happens, and the implementer is the one who actually does the task. When you have a turnkey business, what you're doing, what I do, is when necessary, I'm coaching my directors. They want to buy a big piece of equipment, or they got a challenge with a team member, or, you know, we run into some kind of trouble. The great news is they very rarely contact me, and usually it's, hey, we're gonna invest in this equipment. It's a couple $100,000. Is that okay? Absolutely, because it's coming from Scott, and I know Scott ain't gonna invest a bunch of money unless it's gonna give me a huge return, and I already know that it's going to. All right. The last subject I want to share with you today is what I call the millennial myth. The millennial myth. How many of you guys have heard a bunch of feedback on millennials? What have you heard?
All negative.
What have you heard?
Entitled.
What else?
Lazy.
What else?
Insecure.
What else?
Spoiled.
What else?
Unmotivated.
They want to be in charge. It's actually a positive one for me. Hallelujah. I got to carry all these boxes. Not committed. All right. That's a myth. The myth is in the word all.
Right.
All millennials. How many 50-year-olds do you know that are lazy? How many 50-year-olds do you know that are unmotivated, entitled, don't want to work, they're distracted? Grandparents sometimes are more on social media and distracted than young people nowadays, it seems like. Yeah, the myth is all. So what I want you guys to know is that by the year 2025, just over 5 years from now, 75% of your workforce will be millennials. And that's from the Leadership Challenge, which is 5 decades of studies. John Maxwell said that the Leadership Challenge is the best leadership book ever written. I think he slipped up when he said that because he's got about 70 books of his own. I think he slipped up, and I don't know that many people caught it, but I was like, I didn't even have to do Amazon one click because I said, I already have that book in my library, but I haven't read it yet. I pictured it in my mind. As soon as I got back home from that trip, I grabbed the Leadership Challenge, and I found out where John Maxwell got all of his material. He'll tell you that. You want to do the same thing. Copy. Find the best models. Find the best system. And copy them. Not illegitimately, right? You want to respect people's intellectual property, but everybody's intellectual property came from someone else along the way. John Maxwell sit there and tell you that. I learned this from this person, that from that person, and copied this from them. And he gives them credit. Where'd I learn all the stuff that I'm teaching you? Zig Ziglar, John Maxwell, Michael Gerber, Darren Hardy, Gary Keller, all those guys. 70% of American workers are disengaged. 18% are actively disengaged. That's all right. You want me to click it? There we go. All right. So how do you engage a millennial? First, you got to find the ones who have the same MVP that you have. You want to match your company MVP to their personal MVP. All right? What do they want? See, your mission is what experience do you want to provide in your company? What experience do they want to have? This is called mastery right here. I was with Michael Killen sitting in his office. And in the inner circle, we have a total interview script that Mr. Rick Jones provided us. And, you know, how to interview someone, how to look for the right things. He's had some coaching with Mr. Rick Jones. And he's watching the words that this guy is saying, this kid that came into work. And he said, so, you know, why are you interested in working here? Guy says, oh, it looks cozy in here. It's like, cozy? It's like, no, not really. So he didn't hire him. He said 6 months earlier, he would have hired the guy, right? Because he wouldn't have picked up on that. What experience do they want? Who do they want to be? What values do they want to live by? All right? And why do they do what they do? Your purpose, your why is the most important thing. The reason that these millennials are on my team, Victoria's over there serving in the other room right now with our Future Inner Circle members. And all of these young people, I mean, do you see laziness here? You see Victoria, Santi, Aliki being lazy? No, they work hard. Our MVP matches their MVP. So you got to find the ones that are hungry. You got to find the ones who are smart. You got to find the ones who, what does Patrick Lencioni say? See, I'm copying right now. Hungry, humble, and smart. That's what you want. Get that book, The Ideal Team Player, and print out the assessment, and you'll be able to assess your people and anybody that you're going to hire to find out if they're humble, if they're hungry, and if they're smart. And smart means people smart, all right? So you can have someone who's humble but ain't very smart. You ever hired somebody like that? I like this guy. He's just humble. But not the right fit. We're not the right fit. We need a little more. Got to have a little more on the ball. Values. So, are they humble? Are they hungry? Do they want to win? This is what you're going to find. People who want to win. People who, millennials, want to make a mark. The reason that many of them seem distracted and, you know, Simon Sinek's whole thing, if you listen to that, is the way that they grew up with technology. Everything's provided. And, you know, there are a lot of them that feel this sense of entitlement. It is true. But what I've seen is that when you find the right ones, like these two gentlemen back here, Jim and John, you know how they moved up that org chart? They got a couple of young, hungry, humble, smart people to start filling in those gaps so they could move up the org chart. They got a marketing director, operations director. It's awesome. Well, one thing I know about Victoria is that she loves them Astros. Now, I should have thought about this, and this is where I need to get better. I should have been thinking about the World Series a long time ago. But we happened to be standing there in my kitchen, and Michelle and Victoria and Santi had come over to get some stuff for the conference. And Santi goes, no, it's Michelle and Santi. And Santi goes, you know, you can get World Series tickets for about $400. And I looked at Michelle. One thing you got to know about Michelle is that girl loves sports. She loves going to sporting events. Ding, 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 ding. Michelle, you want to go to the World Series? Think Victoria would like to go? Yeah. So I said, buy the tickets. Put them on the company card. And they went to the World Series. They had a phenomenal time. Game one. Oh, Aliki. Question. You want to hire a millennial? Here's what you're going to ask them. What are your goals? You know it's okay if they say, I don't know. Because if they're hungry, maybe you're going to be the first person in their life to give them the seven-step goal-setting process from Ziegler, whether you hire them or not. How many of you know that if you add value to them before they even get on your team, that you're going to be the one that they want to come to work for? Zig Ziglar said you can have everything in life you want if you will just help enough other people get what it is that they want. What's your dream? What do you like to do? I already know what Aliki's future is. She's going to have a Greek bakery. By the way, I've known Aliki since she was born. And she wants to have a family. She wants to have a bakery. And she wants to spend her summers in Greece. Is that right? Spot on. If I can help her make that happen, and we can win as a result in business, that's how it works right there. Now, there is a little caveat to that, okay? You're going to Greece for the summer. Nick and Aliki, you got to invite me, okay? One of the best trips I ever had was her family had... Did you guys sell that house yet? It's on the market. They have a house in Greece. Denise and Christian and I stayed there for 2 weeks. It was just like the most fabulous time ever. Just amazing. I went back and I wrote the book, Think It'd Be Phenomenal, sitting in a rock overlooking this beautiful turquoise water. Alexandra, she does all my Ziegler work. This is why the DISC profile is so important. I did her assessment, and I found out she's a CI. Very rare combination. You know what that stands for? A CI combination? Complicated. When we first started out, everything's cool, fun, da 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 da. And the more work she got, the less I saw of the I. It's all C. That's interesting. And that I doesn't come out until later in the day. Why? Because the C wants to get the work done. They're so conscientious. They want everything to be perfect. Then, so I'm talking to Tom about this. He said, yeah, she's always been that way. Said her mom and I wouldn't get anything out of her until 10 o'clock at night. Nothing all day because she just focused on doing that. Every human being has the qualities of success, but each person has unique qualities. She's very smart. In fact, when I was thinking about hiring her, I called Tom and I said, Tom, thinking about hiring Alexandra, is there anything I need to know? Just between me and you. Just doesn't have to, nobody has to know. Is there anything I need to know? She got any kind of problems that I need to know about? Something that's going to crop up? He said, well, Howard, there is one problem that you need to know about. I'm like, how am I going to tell Alexandra I'm not going to hire you after all? She's smarter than both of us put together, and before too long, we'll be both working for her. Guess what? Today, we both do what Alexandra says to do. And because of the work that we've done, that company over there, the Ziegler Corporation, is a different company. There were a lot of issues. A lot of people taking advantage of the Ziegler Corporation. I had to come in and be the bad guy. And Alexandra does all the detail work. Just she takes on a load and a load and a load and a load. It's just awesome. Actually, we're speaking of training and hiring people and developing people. We're starting something new that you're going to benefit from. We're starting something called the Ziegler Community. We've had this idea for a long time. We finally decided to launch it. And what we're going to do in the Ziegler community is we're going to teach the Ziegler philosophy on a webinar every week. And that way your team members can tap into that and they can go through the goal setting. They can go through be the best you, build a winning relationships, DISC, and all that kind of stuff right from that platform. So you can just give them the login and say, okay, I want you to go through the goal setting modules, download the forms, and that sort of thing. So you can, you know, develop your team. It's really expensive, but it's worth it. It's $99 a month. And as an Inner Circle member, I'm going to give you my whole, give you our affiliate. You know, I get an affiliate fee, so Inner Circle members are going to get 40% off of that. So it's just a very inexpensive way to help you develop your people. All right? And we're going to have some phenomenal... I'm going to start out teaching it, but I'm not the best teacher. We're going to have some phenomenal people teaching some of those things. So understanding that every individual, regardless of age, already have the qualities of success. Mr. Ziegler said this. You know, he has this affirmation card. It says, I'm honest, I'm on time, and so on and so forth. An affirmation is telling the truth in advance. And somebody says, well, what if I'm not on time? He says, you have the quality, you have the seeds of greatness inside of you. You have the seed in you, and you just have to take that seed and grow that seed. Mr. Zig Ziglar told a story about a man, true story, in around Beaumont, Texas, early in the, about, I don't know, whenever they started discovering oil, but turn of the century, something like that. And times were hard. This man owned this property. He was going to sell this property because he needed the money. And a man from one of the oil companies came by and he said, sir, we have reason to believe that there is oil on your property. And we'll drill for the oil, no charge to you, and we'll share the proceeds with you. They started drilling for oil, and it was a gusher. Back in that day, the derricks were made of wood, and the derrick would just splinter when the gusher came out, and this thing was just obliterated. 100,000 gallons of oil spewed out before they could get it capped. And it became the largest oil discovery in this country called Spindletop. three oil companies came out of that. That man became an instant millionaire. Or did he? Or was he already a millionaire? See, he was already a millionaire because that oil was already there. He just didn't know it was there. So he had to discover that oil. He had to bring it to the surface, and it had to be brought to the marketplace before it could be used. Qualities of success. Every single human being has them. I saw that young lady right there go from a 17-year-old, you'd never know it by looking at her, going from a 17-year-old, just lack of confidence, not wanting to really interact with people. 17 years old, Christian, Denise, and I went to Australia with them. And in a moment, Tom loves to tell this story. You may have heard it before, but in a moment, because of an experience that she had in that room, she just grew up right before his eyes. And she's been on this great progression of just becoming, her past experiences have been, just a lot of a lack of confidence, so to speak. I'm not saying that we should be a rehab center, and she wasn't, she didn't need counseling. She just needed encouragement, right? And that's what we need to do, is we need to support people, help them reach their goals, encourage them, and help them become accountable to become the person that they were created to be. Has everybody here read The Power of Community, my book, The Power of Community? Okay, if you haven't read it, read it. If you've read it, take it and do a small group pod in your company so that everyone can understand the power of community. It's created through support, encouragement, and accountability. I can't even hardly look at that picture. That man right there, Santiago, just that experience alone, I could die and go to heaven and be a happy man. To watch that man from 17 years old to becoming the man that he is today is an incredible thing. You see, the most important thing is the purpose that God has put in your heart. How are you going to find that? Here are the clues right here. John Maxwell wrote this in his book, Intentional Living. The clues of your purpose are found through these three questions. What do they cry about? What does Santiago cry about? What problem in the world does he want to see solved? What does he sing about? What does he dream about? I'll tell you. Right here on his shirt. Every year, they go to family camp. Somebody said it earlier. Family is most important. That man is committed to his family, and it inspires me. He's committed to being a master at what he does. It inspires me. To see what he has done with many of you and your teams, it inspires me. Makes me cry. Look at that man. That's why I do what I do. 17 years old. See all these kids back here? See all those kids back there? Listen. What I cry about is what these kids have to go through. I flew to Arkansas, weather in Dallas, weather in Houston, supposed to leave at 7 o'clock in the morning, left at 9:30 at night. My bedtime's 9 o'clock. And got to bed at 1 o'clock, got up to the place that Tom and I were speaking at 7 o'clock in the morning. But when I was on the flight, I was so disappointed. In front of me was a little girl who was almost 2. And she was with her mom. And, of course, she's standing up in the seat and just, you know, got all that nervous energy and everything. And I'm playing peekaboo with her like this. She'd, you know, look over mom's head like this. And I'd be like, and I'd go over here and she'd be, you know, I do that with my granddaughter, peekaboo. And so I said, how old is she? And she said, almost 2. And I said, oh, I have a granddaughter who's almost a year old. She said, oh, yeah, that's good age. It's all downhill from there. That's what we're dealing with. Why? Because they don't know the Ziegler philosophy. Guys, we need a checklist. We're supposed to have tissues in here. I don't have any tissues up here. What happened to our systems? Michelle, help me, please. Oh, they got stolen. That's what happened. Probably need them on every table with this group. Okay. Now I'm going to really cry. Oops. Let me go back to... Wait, where's Johan? Okay. Now I got to go here first. Okay. All right. In the book... Drive by Daniel Pink. He said, this is what people want. Every human being wants to master something. This is Christian, my son, my daughter in love, Susie. They want mastery. We already talked about that. They want autonomy. In other words, millennials want to have freedom. They want to have autonomy over their task, over their time, their technique, and their team. Different individuals have different desires, so the best strategy for an employer would be to figure out what's important to each individual employee. And that quote is from Tony Hsieh, who built and sold Zappos. He built it from nothing, sold it for $1 billion. A shoe shop online selling shoes. You know Zappos did is after you had been there for 90 days, they offered you $2,000 to quit. They would give you a $2,000 check if you wanted to go somewhere else. How cool is that? Like, in other words, if you don't really want to be here, if you're here just for that paycheck, bye-bye. What do they want? They want people who are going to make other people happy. We were talking about this, talking about hiring a salesperson We don't want a salesperson. We want a person who is crazy about making other people happy. I mentioned to you, Christian wants to do his own thing. He's out there trying stuff, and eventually he's going to find it. He's going to find it if he hasn't found it already. This is Johan started with me at 19 years old as a technician. He's 34 now, and he's the operations director of my service company that'll do about $4 million this year. How many of you, well, let's get through this first. Okay, this is the most important slide right here. And well, the next one's the most important one, but for this session. In Drive, through the studies, the research, here's what they found. What they found is that they said we're learning that the profit motive, potent though it is, making money, can be an insufficient impetus. Those are too big of words for me, but in fact, I went in and changed that slide. I was going to take those words out, and then I thought, oh, I already said on my slide. So anyway, I was just going to take those big words out of there. If it has more than two syllables, it's too big for me. An equally powerful source of energy, one we've often neglected or dismissed as unrealistic, is what we might call the purpose motive. How many of you have overlooked that when hiring people and interacting with people and leading your team? Start with why. The purpose motive. The reason that Santiago is with us and not an engineer, he was going to school to be an engineer, is because he saw the life change that was happening with people in the inner circle. The reason all of my team members do what they do and work hard for you is because of the purpose motive, not the profit motive. Why does your business exist? How does it make a difference in the lives of your clients and your team members? What is your why in your business? What is their why? Because, see, as Simon Sinek shares with us in Start With why companies have a certain belief. There's just something about them that makes them different. All these people that are out there that have business training, people keep coming back to us because of one thing, that community. That this is making a difference in your life and in other people's lives. Motivation 3.0, which is the study that they did in the book Drive, doesn't reject profits, but it places equal emphasis on purpose maximization. You want to make money so you can help more people. You want to make money so you can hire more people. You want to make money so you can serve more people. You want to make money so you can give more money away. But the energy, the drive, what gets people going, regardless of the age, millennial or not, Gen Y, Gen Z, boomer, doesn't matter, is purpose. Every time you communicate with your client, with your team member, with your vendor, what needs to be coming out of your mouth is purpose. This is why we do what we do. Yes or yes?
Yes.
I have one last slide for you. That is, Sylvie, this young lady lost her husband. month ago or so, 2 months ago. And I want you guys to give her a lot of loving. She came here, and this man and his wife spent the last several days with her and probably riding ATVs, went out on the boat and all that good stuff. And this one's for you. So anyway, give Sylvie some love, and we remember Dan, and, you know, he really served us very, very well. So we're going to go on a break, and thank you all so much. Santi's going to come to the stage and tell you guys about lunch and all that good stuff. Give it up for Santiago Man, Santiago Arango.
Love you too. Love you too, Hannah. Okay.